It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life. We're 97.9 WGNR-FM Anderson, Indianapolis. 91.7 WIWC Kokomo. 89.9 WHPO West Lafayette, Lafayette. 90.3 WFOF Covington, Danville. And 88.1 WMVL Mitchell, Bloomington.
It is Teaching Tuesday, and it's time to talk to Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away about our biblical worldview question of the week. But first, you know, I've got to say this. Nancy, I'm just going to spill the beans. I scared Nancy this morning, and I'm still so excited about
it. Terrifying.
It was so unintentional. It startled me that you were scared.
Well, good morning again. No, seriously, I'm just kind of quiet and early morning, just sitting here listening, and then I, you know, click on so we can have this radio show, and it's just totally quiet, and you come on with this blaring good morning. I tell you, I almost fell out of my chair. Oh, goodness. Well, at least I'm awake. So good morning again.
Yes, good morning. We listen for Nancy in what we call our back channel. We can hear it. You can't hear it over the radio. And I heard this little click, and I heard her clear her throat. And I'm like, well, good morning. What time is it for you? Where are you right now?
Well, it's 5 o'clock in Denver.
Well, you weren't expecting that, were you?
No. did wake me up, so I don't have to rely totally on coffee.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't need any coffee at all. But
that's
anyway,
a good thing.
I am excited to talk about our topic today. We're going to be talking about heaven, our biblical worldview question of the week. Will we see our friends in heaven, Nancy?
Yes, and you know, there's so much speculation on this, and we're just going to start out by being very honest. We're going to be talking about what the scripture says. We're not going to speculate beyond that or tell any stories that we hope is there. We're going to stick to what is. And you know, honestly, preparing for this, Kelly, I've learned so much about really what scripture tells us. And we should be hopefully very encouraged. And again, this idea of heaven, is it not what keeps us going? This idea that when things are tough, we can keep going because we know that time is coming. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing really about believing that Jesus died and rose again is the security that we have. Because without that, we don't really have that security of knowing for sure that when we die, we will live forever in heaven with Jesus in perfect health, in perfect harmony. In our hope, meaning, and when I say hope here, it's the assurance of, because we are sure of our salvation. It's not based on how many good things we've done, or how nice we are, or how much we regret what we've done in the past. Mm-hmm. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. And there is always a path to Jesus for every single person. I don't care what religion they're practicing, but when they repent and see that Jesus died and rose again and is God and can forgive sins, then our whole life changes. Our perspective on hard times changes. And I'm looking here at John 11:25, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And John 14 is a new believer. I read this, and it was so I was so overwhelmed with it because God gives us such a great picture in this, John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, that where I am, you mm-hmm. might also be. And it's just so awesome. And then Luke 23:43, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And that was to one of the thieves on the cross with him. The promise from Jesus Christ himself, who died and rose again and made this possible. Yes, there is this wonderful place, paradise, and a new heaven and earth and this beautiful plan that God has for us after we die.
You know, I love that little piece of scripture. We don't know a lot about that thief, but he was a thief and he was being punished. We know that much. And he hadn't walked with Jesus. But in that one moment, that one brief moment where it was evident he was putting his faith in Jesus, boom, Jesus said, yes, and you will be with me. And it astounds me sometimes. It's not that it was easy for him to go to the cross by any means for our sakes, but this truly is, this gift of salvation truly is a gift, and it's so easy for us to receive if we just will. And man, Nancy, that leads me to the next question. What about those who die without knowing Jesus? Because I think sometimes, and this has come up, it seems fairly often in my life with people that I know over the last 3 or 4 years, sometimes we feel like we might have to skirt around the answer to that in the interest of being gentle, because when people are grieving, you don't want to blow them out of the water, but you also want to be truthful, and we need to know the truth. So what about those who die without knowing him?
Yeah, and this is a toughie, but I'll tell you, you're doing nobody any favor. And eternity for them hinges on that we be honest and about what this is, even though it's a hard pill to swallow. If they get mad at you, then you can share some scripture with them. At least you put the thought in their mind that those who die without believing in Jesus, they don't believe in the death and resurrection. Therefore, they will be forever separated from God and living in torment. And not only will they be separated from God, but from all believers. And, you know, some religions, and I think if you've studied religions, there are many that believe, that would like you to think, that people can be saved after they die. And like a second chance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But this belief just simply is not supported in the scriptures. And the sad reality is that we will never see, listen to this, or remember those people again. So when we're in heaven, those people that chose not to believe, as Christ blotted them out of the book of life, he also blots their memory out of our future life in heaven. Mm. And we won't see them there, but we mm-hmm. also won't remember those people. And they will just be blotted forever. And that's the one thing we know about heaven, is that we will not remember those people again. So, Hebrews 9:27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. This idea that you will be where you choose to be, in heaven with God or separated from God, in this place called hell. And it's tough. And then Psalm 9:5-6, you know, you have been rebuked. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. This is the scripture. This is the truth. And they're not going to some fun place where they can sit around and party with their friends that mm-hmm. also don't believe. They will be essentially by themselves in torment forever.
When our kids leave their youth groups and they graduate high school, move on to college, or just into life, their faith is going to be challenged, and they need to really understand what they believe and how to stand firmly in it. And that's what you do. You teach them at Anchors Away.
We sure try to. And, you know, the thing is, for parents, you can go online and learn this yourself and teach it to your kids. But I will tell you this, 9 out of 10 kids are walking away from their faith who live in Christian homes. Mm-hmm. So let me say, parents, these young men and women, they're looking for answers to what they're experiencing in this world. And we owe it to our kids, and now for me, grandkids, to speak truth into mm-hmm. them. Because if not, they're going to walk away. I promise you, they're going to walk away. And so it's the churches, really, some of them are awesome, doing a great job. The majority are not. So we as parents have got to take take the high road here and say, I'm going to teach them myself.
Oh, yeah. That's our responsibility. You can't put them in youth group and expect your youth pastor to parent your kids.
No.
That's your job, and it's my job. And it's so important, especially, you know, when you stop and think about our final end. Where are we going to end up? Because we're not going to live in this world forever. One way or another, we are all going to meet our end, and there are two destinations. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The more preferable one being, obviously, heaven. Our biblical worldview question today, discussing heaven, and will we see our friends there? Yes, we will see our friends there if they have known Christ. But I think a big unanswered question, and really to a degree we can only speculate, Nancy, but as believers in Jesus, what can we understand from Scripture? What can we really know for sure about what happens the very moment we die?
Right. Well, we know that the moment we die, we will be in the presence of God. That's for one thing, and it's just going to be overwhelming. Our souls entwined with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and those who have died before us as well, I think will be overwhelmed with the presence of God and multitude of angels. What that looks like, feels like. We really don't know. I'm convinced that we will be living in a different dimension. So, so it gets kind of wah-wah-wah in a way. But Scripture is very clear talking about a rapture, that God will rise up from this earth at some time in the future. Again, stop speculating what that's going to be. Yes, they're birth pains. But, you know, when God chooses to come and raise up all believers since the beginning of time, actually. And that at that time, he will give us all glorified bodies, these heavenly bodies, so that we will know everyone in heaven. We will know them. And it's not like you wear name tags in heaven. You know,
you see it when you get there. Hello, I'm.
Yeah. Hello, I see by your tag that you are. No, that's what's so weird about it. And I really like people, so I can't imagine the multitudes we will know, not just scantily, but we will understand and know. And that is God's secret. And I don't know, but I'm looking forward to that one. And we will love everyone. It will be the most surreal place ever. But anyway, until that time, God has given us the gift of hope, this assurance of knowing that Christians, without a doubt, will go to heaven when death comes our way. That we can be assured of. And, you know, it's good to look in Scripture. I'm thinking of David, King David, you know, when his son was sick and he was in mourning and wouldn't eat and all this stuff. And when he heard that his son had died, he said this: while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. This beautiful story, and I think so many of us experience it. We mourn and we grieve when our loved ones, you know, are dying and they're sick, and there's a peace, and I've experienced it myself with family, that when they die, they're released from that and they go to heaven. What a beautiful thing that is when we know that people love Jesus. But I think the most significant proof of being able to recognize one another after death is when Jesus met Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And she turned around. She said, well, are you a gardener? Mainly because you probably look like one, but, you know, for all he'd been through. But this idea that we can talk to and recognize one another, and, you know, the resurrected Jesus, history recounts that he preached, he did miracles, he talked to many, he was seen by thousands of people, both friends and foes. And then after 40 days, he, you know, his his resurrection, and then he ascended into heaven and taken up into the sky, and he said, I'll be back. And that's the rapture that we were talking about a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear from Scripture that, yes, we will be able to recognize those of us. We will not be alone in heaven, although it would be nice to have all that attention ourselves. But we will be with multitudes of people, multitudes of angels, worshiping, meaning living and serving. And I can't imagine what it is, but I get all excited about it reading.
Oh, yeah.
when we read this scripture. It's crazy.
You know, as an introvert at heart, it blows my mind to even think about it. So multitudes, she said, multitudes. But no, it's going to be beyond anything we could even begin to imagine. Hey, Nancy, we've only got about 3 minutes left, and then we're going to have to scoot along. But can you kind of summarize a little bit for us in closing what we're going to be doing in heaven? I know I've seen the old drawn cartoons and things. People think that when you die, the old ideas, we're sitting on a cloud with wings and playing a harp.
Oh, yeah,
I don't want to play the harp. And if I'm going to get wings, I want them now.
No kidding. Well, what we won't be in heaven is married. There is no marriage in heaven because Jesus coming down as the bridegroom is the groom, and he's coming for his bride, and those are the believers. And so there won't be that, but we'll be friends with everybody, more of a brother-sister thing. But I think the picture of heaven that you're talking about, Kelly, is from a vision that John had, and he writes about it in Revelation 21, 1 through 5. If ever there is a vision of heaven, this is what I believe is it. And he says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying this, listen to this, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And, you know, these are exciting times that we live in right now. But they will come to an end, mm-hmm. and Jesus will return. And honestly, for me, people say, well, if he's returning, I'm just going to go home and hang out and wait. But essentially, God is saying to us in 2 Timothy 4, you know, for sure, he says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. We're called now more than ever to go out and share the truth with those that are seeking. And trust me, the worst atheists in the world are seeking for God because they're made in his image. Don't hesitate to live out your faith and share, because some of these people have never heard, and some of these people are also going to church and have not heard. It's simply by grace you are saved. And oh, my friends, we just need to reach out now more than ever, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And don't give up on your loved ones. Keep praying. Because, Nancy, I remember, share this quickly, and then we'll let you get on with your day and do what you've got to do out there in Denver. But my father, I got a phone call. I think he's 90 now, and he was, I think, 72 when he was saved. And they gave him an opportunity to speak to his church right before he was baptized. And he said, you're all probably wondering what took me so long. He said, I always knew and I always believed. I just didn't know the how. And I thought, how could I have forgotten to tell him the how? It was so easy all this time. But we do have to continue to do that work of being an evangelist. Because I don't know about you, I cannot stand the thought of the fact that, you know, one day I am going to be before the Lord. And if I had just gone home to chill out and wait on him, I think my heart would break once I'm in his presence to realize the time that I had wasted and the opportunities I had wasted to bring others with me.
Totally, totally true. And we were never called to be looking at ourselves. We've been called to look outward, to go into the world, you know. And I, again, just in closing, Acts 2, 37, 39. And those of you that have people that don't believe, let me repeat this. Acts 2, 37 through 39. The Apostle Peter said this. This is what our friends need to hear who don't believe. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He's calling all of us, created in his image, to come to him, to repent from our sins and believe that he died and rose again. That's the gospel. It's just so clear.
It's so clear.
Awesome.
It's clear, and it's a gift, and it's easy to receive. It really is that easy. Nancy, this has been great this morning. I'm so glad we talked about this. I think it's timely anytime we talk about it, but it just seems our world is in such a mess right now that this message is so needed, and people need to hear that there is a hope and a God in heaven who loves them. Thank you for putting the time into this morning. And I wish I could say that I'm sorry that I startled you at the beginning of the program, but I'm still kind of happy about it.
Yes. Well, trust me, I'm awake for the rest of the day. So thank you very much, Miss Kelly.
You're welcome. You can back off on the coffee now. Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life. We're 97.9 WGNR-FM Anderson, Indianapolis. 91.7 WIWC Kokomo. 89.9 WHPL West Lafayette, Lafayette. 90.3 WFOF Covington, Danville. And 88.1 WMBL Mitchell, Bloomington.